You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, good morning. I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to John and Gordy in the Morning. The guys are off this morning, but they'll be back this afternoon from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So you can catch them then, and they'll be here tomorrow morning, too, back in their regular spot and doing double duty in the afternoon. I don't know how the guys are managing that schedule, but better them than me. For now, you got me, Matt Rothschild, my frequent guest, favorite co-host, Angela Lang, the executive director of Block. Angela, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm super excited. It's been such a long time since you and I have done this, and I was very excited for it. So, yay.
Yeah, we've been guest hosting on and off over the past year on the Civic Media Radio Network when hosts are on vacation or ill. But it's been a couple months, so here we are. Thrilled to be here. We've got a great show for everyone. We have Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils on at 6:35, and at 7:35, we have Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, who's running for the Assembly in the seat now held by Francesca Hong, who, of course, is running for governor. On Tuesday, a couple days ago, I was guest hosting, and we interviewed Juliana Bennett, who's also running for that seat. So I wanted to make sure that I gave Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford an opportunity, too. I've interviewed her before for my podcast, the Wisconsin Forward podcast on transgender rights. She'd be the first transgender person elected to the state assembly. So that's kind of neat. In between these interviews, we'll be talking birds, as we always do in politics. I'm saving a cool little poem for the very end of the show. I got to have some poetry and birds in every show that I'm on. Also, we've got a little bit of This Day in History we'll probably get to in this next half hour. And I want to invite anyone who's listening right now in your car or in your kitchen or in your bedroom, wherever you might be, your office. If you're an early bird like me, you can join by calling us at 608-879-8255. That's 608, you know that if you're here in Madison. 879-8255 here on WMDX, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Just a quick weather update. It's not too bad out today. It's cold, but in the teens. It's cloudy. It's not going to get above the teens all day long, I don't think.
Not as icy as it was yesterday. No. Yesterday was super icy on the roads.
Right. That's Dom, our great engineer and producer here. The drive-in was a relief compared to yesterday and the day before. Tomorrow it's going to get just a little bit warmer, but then brutally cold for Saturday and Sunday. You know, it's an old-fashioned winter in Wisconsin. We may not have many more like this, so appreciate it for what it is and for what it was. So, Angela, let's get to doing a little catching up. I haven't talked with you for a bit. I see that you're having your annual gala at Block tomorrow. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we actually used to do a end of the year holiday party, and we were like, let's just go and rent out a local bar and just have fun and celebrate ourselves. And then we turned five and we felt that we wanted to elevate our end of the year party a little bit. And then we were like, let's do a gala. And then we've just done galas ever since. And our gala is not a typical gala. And it's like, it's $100 a plate and blah, blah, blah. It's generally free. Obviously, we will be accepting donations, but we just want to make sure that folks are able to come together, really talk about the year. And, you know, for us, when we thought of a theme, we struggled to figure out what is the theme for this year. And we're like, let's just kiss 2025 goodbye. Let's just do kind of like a happy new year. Let's go into 2026. And what's special about this year is that we will be making a special announcement that things will be changing a little bit into the next year, but we're very excited. We recorded a little announcement video that we're going to play at the gala tomorrow. So if you aren't able to come to Milwaukee or not able to make our gala, we will be announcing that announcement on our social media as well.
You don't want to give us a preview, a hint, do you?
All I'll say is, one, I'm not going anywhere, but I am.
I was wondering about that.
I know people have been asked. I'm like, nope, I'm not going anywhere. But very excited for just different opportunities for folks and, you know, maybe some new roles and some new models of how we do things.
Interesting. If people are listening, that's Angela Lang. She's the executive director of Block. Do you want to explain what Block is to those who aren't familiar with your organization?
Yeah, so we're a year-round civic engagement organization that turned 8 years old on Thanksgiving, which was very special. It's also very weird to think that it's been 8 years. But, you know, for me, I was very frustrated not only at, you know, Trump being elected in 2016, but some of the narratives that came out. It was, if you people would have just voted, you know, the blame on the Black community. And that was enough to kind of light a fire and bring some folks into a room and create something that is different. How do we have a year-round program in the Black community where it's not just knocking on doors a couple weeks or a couple months before an election and then going home? So
always amazes me the folks who blame Black people in Milwaukee for not doing more or flipping the state Democratic when Black people around the country, this is Democrats, blaming Black Democrats. Black mm-hmm. women is the most reliable, overwhelming 90% or more, 95% voting for mm-hmm. Democrats. And Black males who've gotten a lot of criticism, too, over the last little bit, you know, vote Democratic more than any other group except Black women. And they're right next to Jewish Americans, too. So, I mean, it's just these aren't the folks to blame. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that narrative is a tale as old as time. Right. And we've done as much as we could to try and still continue to do to really disrupt that narrative that, you know, we are doing work, but also we're taking care of our slice of the pie. Wisconsin is a state that's not just Milwaukee. So, you know, I think we've done a lot to try and take that narrative back and to really kind of peel back the layers, too, of just how difficult for it can be to vote, especially when we have all these continuous like voter suppression laws and ways of making it confusing. You add that on top of everything. We do work in the most incarcerated zip code, which is heavily Black, and a lot of folks don't have their voting rights restored, or if they do, they may not know that they do because they think if they've ever been convicted of a felony, they can never vote again. So there's just a lot of different challenges that we also have tried to highlight to kind of build a fuller picture of what it takes for Black voters to show up sometimes.
I mean, the restoration of voting rights is a big issue. A lot of people may have the misconception that once you get out of jail or prison in Wisconsin, you have the right to vote. It's true in states like Illinois and you know, at least half the states across the country. But here in Wisconsin, if you get released from WAPON, that doesn't mean you get to vote the next day. A lot of people are on extended probation and parole. And by an extended is a euphemism. Sometimes that extension can be 5, 10, 15 years. So they've already served their time and yet they don't get their rights back. So there's been an effort by many people in the legislature, Democrats, to try to change that. That hasn't gone through because Republicans control the legislature, but we're way behind on this issue of felon reenfranchisement. So,
Yeah, I know there were some folks that were not even elected anymore, or at least in that particular seat, that have been working on this. I remember former state assembly rep David Crawley, and former state senator Lena Taylor, who is now a judge, and David Crawley is now county executive. They were proposing this kind of unlock the vote proposal that people's voting rights would be restored upon release. And yeah, as you said, unfortunately, that hasn't really gone anywhere, but it's been several cycles, several years that folks have talked about this. And here we are still, unfortunately.
And it's a big number. It's anywhere between 40,000 and 60,000 people who have already served their time. But still can't vote here in Wisconsin. So that's an issue that needs more work. Now, I also read, Angela Lang, that you were participating on a panel on International Human Rights Day, or you're about to appear on that panel. Yep. What's up with that?
Yeah, so that was on Sunday. Milwaukee Anti-War Committee and a bunch of other partners got folks together to also kind of just like have a potluck. And, you know, there was all sorts of different resource tables of different organizations. There was a great keynote speaker talking about some of the immigration work and anti-ICE work that they've been doing in Chicago, and oftentimes how scary that can be, and you know, talking about some of the scenarios that he had been in. And then I was on a panel with several folks kind of just talking about how this idea of human rights is really playing into our work. And so we all, I think what was a beautiful theme, we all didn't coordinate this, but a beautiful theme of out of all of the panelists was how much our fights are interconnected, whether it's like reproductive justice, you know, Palestine, ICE, you know, being able to talk about the history of mass incarceration, kind of this idea of coming together and seeing that, yes, our fights may be unique to our communities, but there is a broad overview of how there is a civil rights kind of and human rights violation with all of these different issues. So it was really beautiful to kind of hear from folks working on different issues, but really still tie it together of what do human rights mean for our communities. And a question I thought was interesting too is how some folks, usually namely the Trump administration and others, will kind of weaponize, oh, we're doing this, you know, to liberate a country, or we're doing this, you know, for the sake of human rights. We're going to go bomb someone because they're committing human rights violations. And also how it's weaponized, that this kind of idea of protecting human rights can be used to further actually do the opposite.
It's Angela Lang, Executive Director of Block. She's my co-guest anchor today on John and Gordy's show. I'm Matt Rothschild subbing in there. Of course, International Human Rights Day was yesterday, December 10th. Mm-hmm. You mentioned David Crowley a second ago. He's running for governor.
Yep.
Mandela Barnes jumped in the race last week. I'm just wondering what you make of this, especially since you know these candidates. You're friends with many of these candidates. Does this put you in an uncomfortable spot?
You know, I got some difficult personal choices to make in the next few months. And I hope everybody still loves me afterwards. I'm friends with Mandela. I'm friends with Crowley. I'm friends with Fran. I have good relationships with probably every candidate there on various levels. Here's my kind of political answer is I do think it's healthy to have as much competition as possible. I think that also people always kind of talk about, and I've heard Dan Schaefer mentioned this too, of like having a robust primary does really kind of sharpen that candidate. Iron sharpens iron, and being able to get to the details. I know some folks are like, well, what's the difference? There's so many candidates. They're all doing the same thing. They're all saying the same things. You know, right now is when we get to kind of vote with our heart if there is, you know, something that is appealing to us about these candidates. But I do think it's great to have a lot of different perspectives. And I'm hoping that that allows for a really robust and really engaging from a democracy level. I see folks on social media very excited for some candidates, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, primaries are important. It's good batting practice, too. That was Angela Lang. She's my co-host today. She mentioned Dan Schaefer. He, of course, is the political editor here at Civic Media and also the founder and the guy who runs the recombobulation area. Angela Lang writes occasionally for him, prize-winning editorials, I might add. And she'll be back with me right after the break. We're going to do a little This Day in History. Matt Rothschild sitting in for John and Gordy here on WMDX 92.7 FM here in Madison. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
No rest for the wicked, that's for sure. Trump's busy all day long, all night long, tweeting all night long. As usual, I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for John and Gordy, and I have a great guest co-host, Angela Lang, Executive Director of Block, and we are going to do a little bit of This Day in History, and I want you, the caller, to jump in if you want to jump in about anything on your mind, 608-879-8255 here on WMDX. But yeah, I'm a history buff, studied some history in college, try to keep up on history. And so I like to look what happened at this date every time I'm on the show. And I do hope you care. Thank you, Dom, for that bump.
No problem. Yeah.
So here are a few things I found. Some of them are literary, like Grace Paley was born on this date in 1922. Great short story writer and poet. I found this one line that I wanted to share with you from Grace Paley. She died in 2007. We are in the hands, it's still true today, more true today than when she said it. We are in the hands of men whose power and wealth have separated them from the reality of daily life and from the imagination. She added, we are right to be afraid. Got to be afraid, but, you know, got to act on that fear, too. Yep. Even though you're afraid. And so there's that from Grace Paley. Rita Moreno, the great actress from West Side Story, still alive, was born on in 1931, and here's what she had to say. It is through art that we will prevail and we will endure. It lives on after us and defines us as people. You know, at this time, I do think it's important to reconnect with art and literature and poetry and music as a way to sustain our spirits, because it's so easy to get down, especially when we're isolated. And she also added, I live in the moment. The moment is the most important thing. That's my entire philosophy, she said. Make the best of the good moments. So, I love Rita Moreno and her spirit and her wisdom. Mm-hmm. Jim Harrison, poet and a writer, born on this day in 1937. Here's a tease. I'm going to end the show in the last segment with a really cool Jim Harrison poet. So. I found it too. I got a lot of books when I was editor at the Progressive magazine, Matt Rothschild speaking here, and publishers would send books of poetry hoping to get review copies. And so I would just grab every poetry book that was sent. So I have this little collection that I stole from the Progressive when I left. And so I had this Jim Harrison book, New and Collected Poems, and it's the very last poem in the book. So I'll be reading that. And then politically, it's always important to remember our history. In 1941, on this date, the fascist powers, that is Hitler's Germany and Mussolini's Italy, declared war on the United States. And Angela, this is the thing that really gets me. Every family in America practically has a father. I had a father who fought against the Nazis, or a grandfather, or a great-grandfather who fought against the Nazis, or fought against the Japanese, or fought against the Italian fascists. And those members of our families are revered for their service for fighting fascism. And yet here we have people who are adoring this fascist leader we have here in the United States. It's such cognitive dissonance for me. I don't know how people are able to hold both of those thoughts together in their minds.
It's the amount of mental gymnastics that folks do to excuse things away, especially just looking at some of the commentary of, you know, Trump's health and falling asleep and things like that. It's interesting how they're excusing that type of stuff away when just a few months ago they were doing, or a year ago, they were doing they were not having as much grace to President Biden.
They were doing the Sleepy Joe stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just, for me, it's like the amount of mental gymnastics that folks have to do to defend this man. And I think that there's this like cult of personality where this man could do no wrong in their eyes in some ways, unfortunately. And it's got to be hard for folks to reconcile all that.
Yeah, it's very difficult for me to grab onto it. We have a caller, though, one of my favorite callers, Joe from Madison, is on the line. You, too, can call in at 608-879-8255, but let's hear what Joe from Madison has to say.
Great start to the show, and really important to remember, you know, these days in history. My father and all my uncles fought in World War II. That was just part of their identity and part of the identity of so many men from that era. And I think it must be kind of heartbreaking for some of them to look and see this. Just kind of heartbreaking. I wanted to mention two things that, and they actually play into the make the most of the moment that you recounted before. I just want to give a small update. You are so wonderful with birds, Matt, and you had talked about the tundra swans migrating. And I wanted to mention, they're still here, people, and I can tell you that because they make a lot of noise at night and they talk to each other and let each other know we're going to be going. And they apparently it's to keep good flock formation as they take off. But I'm telling you, it was a noisy night back here. And you can hear these birds and see these birds at Yahara Place Park in Madison for Lake Monona, and then over by Tenney Park for Lake Mendota. So to make the most of the moment, I know it's cold, but boy, it's really worth going out to see, especially because you can hear them, which is not a sight to behold, an oral experience to behold. So I wanted to mention that. And then, you know, thank you again for your interview with Melissa Agar. You mentioned in there that she has a goal. She's our county exec, and she had mentioned that she has a goal to visit all of the parks, the 25 Madison parks, or Dane County parks. Great goal. And I guess I would ask Angela, you know, Milwaukee is known for being an incredible place, an incredible park system from this socialist background. So, even though it's cold, folks, maybe we can get out and
yeah, we'll get We'll get back to Andrea on that. Thanks, Joe from Madison for the call. I did see a tundra swan yesterday here in Madison at Tenney Park. So we'll be right back on the John and Gordy Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang. Well, maybe we should start there since it's local.
All right. We got about 10 seconds. Okay. Turning off mics.
Here we are in Mad City. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for John and Gordy, and my guest co-host Angela Lang is with me too, even though she's down in Milwaukee. How are you doing, Angela?
I'm good. It's bright and early, but I got a lot of energy this morning.
Yeah, me too. I love the mornings, and it's a nice morning. It's not too bad out there. The wind has died down. It's cold, but the roads are okay, so it should be a better commute. You know, right before the break, Angela, we had a call from Joe from Madison. And if you're listening and want to call, join the conversation at 608-879-8255. You know the 608, so the rest of the number is 879-8255. And Joe said... Melissa Agard, our Dane County exec, who I was interviewing on this show 2 days ago, was trying to lift up the importance of parks in Dane County. And Joe asked about the park system in Milwaukee and mentioned its socialist history. So do you want to answer that question? She asked you, what are the parks like down there?
Yeah, and I'll say this because I get to wear another hat. I'm actually on the board of directors for the Milwaukee Parks Foundation. Been on for... a little over, I think maybe 2 years now at this point. And the main mission is to make sure that parks are accessible for folks. I myself utilized parks a lot more during the pandemic. I was able to walk to my local park, which also just happened to be the park that is behind my high school. So there's a lot of nostalgia there as well. But there has been efforts over the last few years, or several years, I would say, not with this current county executive administration, but previous county executives had kind of played around with the idea of, you know, parking at the parks and charging folks and just knowing how important parks are, not only to green space, but also to build community. I firmly believe that having access to parks is also one way to keep our community safe as well, too. So it's a rich history, and there's a lot of candidates locally on the county board and for other positions that tend to make parks a central point of their campaign, because we take our parks very seriously in Milwaukee.
And it is a great tradition of, you know, what they used to call a sewer socialist. They might as well call them park socialists, too, because you can go to a lot of cities where the shoreline is totally privatized, or almost totally privatized. It's not true in Milwaukee, and that's a great thing. You know, we're now joined by Tim Slecker. Tim Slecker is the co-host of Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, which is a podcast at civicmedia.us, a great podcast. And they have a show that airs on the weekends, too, on Civic Media. Madisonians, if you're listening, you may remember Tim from his many years as dean of the School of Education at Edwards College back 2013 to 2020. So, yeah, Tim is familiar with Madison, very familiar with Wisconsin, and a huge asset to Civic Media. Tim Slecker, welcome to the show.
Wow. Good morning. It is, who did that deep research on me? Wow.
Just a little old journalism.
Frightening. I don't know. I didn't know you popped my name into AI or something. And like,
just takes a second these days.
It is. No, it's good. I said I've been in really enjoying coming on with John and Gordy, and now the guest hosts here. But the podcast is great. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays they drop, and then Saturdays, you know, one full hour on all the Civic Media outlets and stations, you know, where we're, you know, trying to really bring as we say, you know, what's going on in education, but scaled back or enlightened by what would your neighbor really think about this stuff, you know, because a bunch of eggheads like, you know, like me and all the other people, we tend to sometimes talk about stuff and people go, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, who cares? And I think, you know, it, particularly in Wisconsin, we're, you know, talking off air, you know, there's a significant stuff that's happening. Wisconsin higher education, the public system, you know, that's the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Whitewater, Oshkosh, all of those campuses are now engaging in a process where they're going to eliminate programs. And we were trying to talk about this on the show. What that might mean to me, your neighbor, is eliminating majors. In other words, you know, the I want to go to college to be a, well, it might be in the next 3 to 5 years, you might not be able to go to college and want to be a whatever that be, because the University of Wisconsin system is scaling back and could eliminate up to 64 majors, 10% of their offerings in the next 3 to 5 years. And so, you
and
know,
a lot
what
of
does
those,
that...
Tim, I'm sorry to interrupt. Tim,
no, no.
Speaking with Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils, a lot of those are liberal arts courses that they're shutting down. The whole idea that, you know, you can come to a college to become a better citizen or, you know, someone who's more well-rounded. And who can understand the world they're living in and participate better in the world. I mean, that whole idea seems to be going the wayside here.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's so what is it that's really going on? Why do the system, or why does the public higher education system in Wisconsin need to cut back? And part of the story is, well, low enrollment. You know, hey, look, enrollment, college, higher, public education, deep down and still it's a business. And so if you don't have students paying tuition, you can't run the business. And so we got to scale back. So on the surface, people are like, well, you know, that makes sense if there aren't any students, but, you know, okay, maybe true, but at the same time, what has happened to the University of Wisconsin system over the last 15 years? And you can see a concerted effort to defund the public higher education system. In other words, you know, there's not as much money. And people are like, well, it's why would you fund it? Well, because it's a public higher education system. Mm-hmm. The citizens of Wisconsin made a decision that education is important and that we as a community, as brothers, sisters, neighbors, aunts, uncles, we believe in providing access to quality higher education. And so we're going to contribute to that. And now, though, since, you know, for the longest time, probably 2010, I know Wisconsin hates that date when things kind of went crazy, but intentional defunding of higher education. And so is it low enrollment that's creating the budget deficits that some campuses are having? Or is it that it's been underfunded and starved to the point that some of the majors might be suffering low enrollment because the resources to invest in supporting, creating more opportunities, finding more students aren't there? And so, you know, I think this is one of those, you know, it's like, hey, read the headline, but then ask the other questions up with it, you know, because what we said, what is a public higher education system for? And Matt, I think you were kind of getting to that. Well, it's for, yes. And people say, well, you should go to college and after you're done, you should be able to get a good job. And Johnny and I agree. You should. But is higher education a job training system only, or is it a public system that is to support everybody in the sense of community, building democratic citizenship, cultural appreciation, understanding complexities, and things like that? And so the robust curriculum is how we get there. So this is a long way of coming back to saying, so typically you'll see things like art majors are going away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you say, well, why is that a problem, Tim? If, you know, I mean, artists can't get a job anyway. So why bother investing public resources into a major that kids can't get a job anyway? You know, and these are people who just like to sit and, you know, draw.
God forbid.
God forbid. Yeah. So, you know, so I think this is something you think about and you'd say, okay, there is a problem that maybe there aren't a lot of students going into that major, but at what point do you say that actually we're going to continue offering some of these things because that's just what it means to be in higher public education? And then you'd start to say, and guess what? That's where the defunding that happened came in, because if it was being funded fully, you would actually then take some of those resources to support those other programs despite enrollment, because they are an indicator of a robust, healthy curriculum that the community actually benefits from.
Yeah,
that's How's that for a soapbox?
There you go. That's Tim Slecker. That's why he's got a podcast. The podcast is called Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. You can find it at civicmedia.us. And his show with his co-host, you mentioned Johnny. That's Johnny Lupinacci. That's his co-host. That airs on the weekends on Civic Media as well. You know, and they're also shutting down campuses across the state. So the idea, the Wisconsin idea, that if you're here in Wisconsin, you can get a education through the UW system close to home, that's going away too, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, you know, Matt, you think about that. I mean, we're just talking about programs, the number of places that are shuttering. And same here in my state in Pennsylvania, where I'm at now. The Pennsylvania public system, you know, used to consist of 14 public universities. Now, 6 of those, quote, universities have merged into 2 what appear to be, you know, mega universities. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that there's not enough, quote, kids. And that is a real issue, you know, and we should be asking questions about, well, where did everybody go? But think about this then, too. How many of these particularly small towns, small college towns, their existence and the university's existence are absolutely connected and tied together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you'd sit there and say, hey, at what point would the closure of this institution damage not just, you know, the fact that students locally can't get the education, but what does it do to the entire community?
Yeah, you know, we're seeing that in Richland Center, you know, Baraboo, all of the places all across the state here in Wisconsin with this shuttering that's going on of these other campuses in the UW system. The chancellors are under the gun. And the folks who are running the whole show don't seem really to care about that. And so this is a real problem we have here in Wisconsin. If you want to join the conversation, it's 608-879-8255 here on WMDX. Please do so. We're going to be coming back with Dr. Tim Slecker and my co-host, Angela Lang. And we're going to talk a little bit about Trump and his education secretary. How qualified is she? We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Matt Rothschild with you here on the John and Gordy Show. John and Gordy are off this morning. They'll be back this afternoon from 2 to 5. And they will be back here tomorrow morning and doing double duty tomorrow afternoon too. So they're working their tails off here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you for listening. The phone number to call to join the conversation, 608-879-8255, 608-879-8255. And I have my favorite guest co-host, Angela Lang, with me this morning. And we have Tim Slecker, the co-host of Busted Pencils, a podcast on Civic Media, as our guest. And Angela, I just want to throw it to you.
Yeah, really appreciate kind of just how you outlined everything in that last segment, right? Because and it speaks to me personally, I tell people all the time, I got my start in student organizing. I was a student organizer. I was that nerd that like finessed her way into the student government so I could help allocate our segregated fees, all of those things. This was also under the Walker era. And so I was in college when the protests broke out around the budget repair bill, but also understanding the intersection of labor and the student movement, because everyone saw that as we have to defend unions. But there was also huge cuts to our higher education system. And at the time, RIP, there used to be a statewide student association, kind of like a student union, called United Council. And that was like an infrastructure that basically campuses could, their membership would vote on it. And you would decide if you're a member of United Council. And that came with different resources, similar structure to a union. And unfortunately, in that budget, Scott Walker was able to take that away. And so I think there's something to be said, and I want to hear more from you, Tim, about not only is it attacking majors as well, but it's also attacking this idea of student organizing. We see even all across the country now, student organizing and that amount of, you know, repression against students to even fight back against some of these cuts. So I'm just curious, like, your thoughts and kind of how you've seen that reaction, too.
Yeah, Angela, thanks for pointing that out, because I mean, to act as if any of this is in some form of an isolation, right, all by itself, you know, let's analyze this from a systems approach. It's a coordinated, as you point out, effort. And think about what's happening here is that you'll hear the framing that, you know, colleges are not supposed to, you know, indoctrinate ideologies, right? And okay, and so I said, my neighbor goes, well, yeah, they should be there learning what they need to learn so they can get a good job. You're right, okay? But again, it's also preparation to be a compassionate, active, engaged citizen. And that happens through the entire university experience, access to clubs, access to those student organizations, being in those student organizations to then engage in community events and or the internal governance of the university that you're at. Like you just said, Angela, that's what we want college to be. It's not just taking classes and job training. It is preparation to become an engaged democratic citizen. And so, you know, I would say it's like, well, you know, you're creating these activists. It's like, well, would it be okay then if we work on creating engaged democratic citizens then? Well, yeah, that's okay. Like, oh, okay. You know, come on. But yeah, what are those other things that happen on campus? And you see that directly attacking what people have identified as ideological indoctrination, when what it is they're saying, you know, let's strip down this university to the point where, you know, I sit down and say, so in other words, you're going to make it incredibly, incredibly even more unattractive, so enrollment will continue to decline. Because who's going to want to go?
Exactly. Yeah. It's all intentional. It's by design.
Yeah. Tim Slicker, you know, the idea that, I mean, I don't think the Trump people, I know the Trump people don't want an engaged citizenry. That's, you know, they want people just to, you know, get any job that they possibly can and shut up, basically. And, you know, and that's what Linda McMahon's all about, too. And so the idea that, you know, college should be a place where you learn critical thinking, you know, that's, you know, anathema to the folks in the Trump administration.
Well, think about that. The statement you just made, you know, with Linda McMahon, and people are like, wait, you mean the wife of Vince McMahon, the WWE? Why'd you bring her name up, Matt? Like, well, because she's the Secretary of Education for this country. And you go, well, how'd that happen? Good question. Dig deeper. people say, you know, she's the most unqualified person. Actually, she's incredibly qualified to do the job she was hired to do.
Which is what?
Which is do, you know, wreak havoc on public education from every angle possible. You know, and that is to say, it's just like, you know, there's a reason for why people are in the positions they're in. And they also didn't lie. I mean, she's like, you know, I'm here to do away with the Department of Education.
And that's what she's doing. She's, you know, she talked last week about dismantling, you know, the functions of the Department of Education and parceling them out to other parts of the bureaucracy. Tim Slecker's been our guest for this half hour. He is the co-host of the Busted Pencils podcast on the Civic Media Radio Network, civicmedia.us. We'll be right back with Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, who is running for the state assembly. She's here in studio, so you're going to want to hang on for that.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.